Okay, we're holding on that. Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. No. We're hoping for the best. Since we're holding now at the two dots, the Mishnah said that if you were in the process of Shkita and you ended up being Matiz Asarosh, so if you were moving your knife in the direction, you were giving it a lateral movement, nonetheless, you didn't have a chance to move back before you shechted the entire head. Says the Mishnah, if you have the sakin being malei tzavar, so then it would be kosher. Omer Rebbe Zeira, when it says malei tzavar, it means v'chutz letzavar. In other words, the chutz letzavar is necessary. It's not enough to have just enough on the knife to be kosher without a back and forth movement. Iboilu. When Rabbi Zera said that, did he mean malei tzavar v'chutz letzavar ke malei tzavar? Dehavi lo trei tzavare? Or dilma malei tzavar v'chutz letzavar mashu? What was he saying, Rabbi Zera? Was he saying malei tzavar means, you see, in Loshon HaKodesh we use the Loshon of malo to mean filled to the brim. So that was what he would be saying would be that if the shear would be tzavar echad, and a little bit more, and that would be chutz tzavar mashu. That's how we'd be understanding the Mishnah. Or does he mean the shear of malo tzavar that's missed in the Mishnah is a reference to how much has to stick out of the knife beyond the tzavar, so that whatever the tzavar is, you need an additional tzavar to be beyond it in order to be kosher. Which one is it? Toshma, Hayashuchet, it says in the Mishnah, Hayashuchet v'tish shnei roshim bevatachat. If you cut off two heads without moving the sakin back and forth, im yesh le sakin malot savar echad kasher. A malot savar echad would be kosher. How is that possible? Im malot savar echad v'sulo. What are you going to try to tell me? That the meaning of malot savar is used in the Mishnah is a reference to the entire width of the knife. So that the knife is malot savar echad. Doesn't make sense. If hash bebe ma'achad, bein malot savar v'chutz savar. If we just got finished saying, as Rabbi Zeira explained, that the meaning of the Mishnah of saying malo tzavar is that you need a little bit more than the tzavar achad, so now you're going to tell me that if you have shnei tzavarim, it's enough to have achad? I mean, that's absurd. So sagilu, but with shnei beimot sagilu to malo tzavar achad, ela pshita malo tzavar chutz l'shnei tzavarim. The meaning, therefore, has to be malo tzavar besides the distance of the necks themselves that you're cutting. Shema mina, malo tzavar chutz l'tzavar shema mina. Therefore, we understand that the meaning is you have to have sufficient space on your knife to be able to move it chutz tzavar. Now, Tosfos says that for the Pashtas, you would have thought from the Mishnah, that this is an actual shear in which if you didn't move the knife this much, indeed the shechita would be possible. If we're measuring the proportion of the lateral movement to the depth, and anything different would be a drusa. In which case, if you didn't use up the whole length of the knife to complete your shkita, then lechora would be a possible shkita. However, it doesn't suggest that that's very difficult to believe. Because we're not going to measure the act of shkita and see that specifically you used up the entire knife. How much is the entire knife? You have to get all the way to the end. You have to fall off the neck. I mean, it's more reasonable to say that this is a shear in a knife in order to make the shkita capable of being done berevach. Obviously, it makes a difference how sharp the knife is. And there's all types of issues that are involved. So what we're doing is we're saying that, look, of course you can get away with less. But the point is, in order to allow a norm in which the shechet will feel that he's got enough room and so on, that's a shechita berevach. It's not really necessary to do that. If you know that you were in Doris and that the knife was very sharp, you manage with less.
The return is not necessary.
No, the return's not necessary. Says the Mishnah, when do we say that we need this shiur dafka if you moved only in one direction, you didn't return? But if you were molechu mevi, says the Mishnah, the lashon is afilu koshahu, afilu beizma. Any little bit, even a chisel, the knife, the length of a chisel. Amr of Menashe, the meaning of a chisel over here is not a decorated chisel that has karnayim on it. It's an Ismael She'in Lo Karnayim. We mentioned when we were learning the Mishnah that the minhag was sometimes to make chisels that had a sharp edge going up for decoration. There would be a chashash. Maybe you'll catch the simonim on the edge of the chisel. Omele Rav Acha, Bereda Rav Avil, Rav Menashe. When it says kol shehu, I mean kol shehu, could that mean a needle? Omar lei machta, machta mivza buzz. A needle doesn't cut. A needle only sticks. So the Mishnah couldn't possibly be referring to a needle because there's no blade on the needle. But so what about a machta de ushkefi? A machta de ushkefi is what a shoe manufacturer uses as a needle. He doesn't really use a needle. He uses a very thin chisel that they call a machta de ushkefi. So would that be included in mashahu? Omar lei kanina, filu koshuhu. I mean, what does koshuhu mean? L'chora, Koshu is coming to tell me, my love, machta de ushkefi. I mean, isn't that what the Mishnah says? No, it's talking about an ismo. An ismo? It says, afilu Koshu, afilu ismo. I mean, so how could it be referring to ismo? It's got to be saying something else. So ismo behedikatanila. Well, perushi kama farish. Maybe the meaning is, minimum shir of the Koshu is an ismo. And the truth is, Okinami Mistava, it makes more sense to say that. Because if you're going to tell me that the mashu starts with the machta de ushkefi, which is smaller than an ismel, so why would you say afilo mashu, afilo be ismel? You already said something smaller than you say even an ismel. So to say, my kosher ismel, must be therefore that the Okinami Mistava, this akadaka machta de ushkefi, ashta machta de ushkefi, ashari ismel mi boy, would I have to say ismel if I already said a machta de ushkefi? Therefore, I suggest that maybe mashu does not mean machta de ushkefi, and actually the Mishnah is giving the minimum shear of a second shkita has to be the size of an ismal, not of a machta de ushkefi, because otherwise why mention an ismal? Says the Gemara, no. Sorry? Bigger than a machta de ushkefi. So, says the Gemara, not necessarily, because you could learn that ismo is trichale. The sake that I mean, ligzer ismo shein lo karnayim, or to ismo sheyesh lo karnayim. Kamash malan. The meaning of ismo may be over here for a different purpose, not to illustrate koshu and not to expand upon the koshu, but rather to say that we're not even concerned about the possibility of a gezeira here. You would have said maybe since there are, after all, ismo, you said we shouldn't use that kind of ismo. Because maybe you'll get it caught on the edges. So you might think that maybe we should exclude Ismail Bechlal, since it's often made with an edge that's sharp and would catch. Kamashmalan, we don't worry about that. Noplas sakin v'shachata. Afa pish shachata kidar kapsula. If a knife was balanced at the edge, let's say of a ledge, and it fell down of its own accord, how shook. And I fell and managed to shecht a behemoth that was under it, exactly. Even though the shechita was perfectly okay, it still is not a kosher shechita. Sheneemar v'zavachta v'akalta, mashatazo v'akatazo ochel. There needs to be a maisa of a ben adam that's involved. And in this case, there's no maisa of a ben adam. Somebody leaves it there. But it just fell of its own accord. It was gravity that pulled it, and he wasn't involved. And mamela, it's not a kosher shechita. Okay, but clearly the issue is whether the action of a human is involved, not whether the thought of a human is involved. Because taima denafla, the only thing that the Mishnah is concerned about is the fact that it fell on its own. Hahipilahu, let's say that he was walking by and he hit the knife by accident. And then the knife fell. So then it would have been kosher. It's only because it fell of its own. Even though he had absolutely no intent, I forgot the Lomach Avi, no intent to throw the knife at the animal. So you see that Kavona is a complete non-starter when it comes to Shrita. Man Tanga de Lobina Kavona de Shrita, and who is that man? The Omar, Omar of Rabbi Nosani. That's Rabbi Nosan, the Tani Oshia Zihir de Min Chavraya. Remember we had a Machlokas Rashi Tosis before. How to understand Oshia Zihir de Min Chavraya, where Rashi says Oshia is his name, and he was the youngest Talmud in the yeshiva. This is Zihir de Min Chavraya. Tosis over there says his name is Oshia Zihir, and he was from the town of Chavraya. Rashi over here makes a new suggestion that maybe his name was Oshia Zihir, but he was just one of the Bokrim in the yeshiva. So I may have three approaches. Oshia Zihir de Min Chavraya.
In any event, he said that Zorak Sakina no atzah bekotel v'halcha v'shachta kedarka, Rabbi Natan makshir v'chachamim poslim. Here, the Braisa quoted by Oshia Zira is that, according to Rabbi Nosson, if somebody was throwing knives just as Pirates of the Caribbean kind of thing, so he had no intent of shechita, Rabbi Nosson holds it's kosher, the Chachomim say it's possible. He quoted this, and he also said himself, halachah Rabbi Nosson. That indeed halachah is like Rabbi Nosson. Now, the problem is that Rava over here is repeating himself. We had this whole discussion earlier, in which Rava was medayik from the Mishnah. Omer Rava chadazim natznan, the first Mishnah of the Masechta, that opens up with the words, v'gavi acheres shaita v'katan, v'kulan shishachatu, v'acherim ra'imotam shachitatan shera. Other people see them. You have a videotape. They're not having kavana. We look back. We find out that the shechita was done properly. The shechita is kosher. And over there, Rava said, you see, the Mishnah is going.
Except the boy with the knife.
Exactly. It seems to be exactly the same case. You see, you don't need kavana l'shechita. And Rava over there said, yes, indeed, that's Rabbi Nosson. And he quotes the whole thing that we had over here. Osh Yazir Demin Chavrayim. What does he have to quote it again for here? What's the new diak from this Mishnah Bechla? Says the Gemara Tzricha. Diash minan ha'atzah mishum nekam echavin l'shum chaticha ba'olam. It's a big difference. Because you might say in that case, indeed it's cheresh shaita v'katan, so that they don't have any legal definition of kavana l'shchita. But there is a kavana to do an act. There's a human act, not an act that happened to be done by a human. So in other words, they're cutting. Because I might have thought that when you say you don't need kavana and you do need action, it needs to be an action that has a kavana for the action, just not a kavana for shechita at all.
Kavana to drop the knife or something else.
Yeah, exactly. Mashenkin over here, you hit it with your toe or something.
Yes, kavana to drop.
There you don't even have kavana to drop it. So it's less. So I might have said that, okay, over there, at least you have a kavana l'chaticha ba'olam. Aval ha'cha, d'loka b'chavin at all. We just would have hit the knife by accident. We may not even have noticed that he hit the knife. And still we're going to say that the Shechita is kosher based on this mission. So maybe not. Aim alone. On the other hand, the Yashmin and Hacha, suppose it would have said this mission. So kosher came over there where I came, Ray and I said, should certainly be okay. Not necessarily. Because there I could say, here maybe it's kosher, Mishum Tekaasim, Mikoach Ben Dat. Maybe although there is not a halacha that you need a kavana, but maybe the definition of bizavakta yakalta, you have to be zover, you have to do the maisa, means a human with a developed intelligence has to do a maisa. So even though he does this maisa without kavana and it doesn't actually engage his intelligence, but it has to be coming from someone who can appreciate the value of his vicha. Mashinkin over there, what's coming from a erishay to the katan. Maybe they lack in the vizavakta as part of the maisa, because a maisa that doesn't have a das behind it, the chalal couldn't have das behind it, is not considered to be a type of maisa that's included in vizavakta, same alo. Maybe over there, indeed, Rabbi Nosson wouldn't have gone so far as to say that it's kosher kamashma, and therefore the Mishnah points out over there that indeed it's kosher. Now, it's a little interesting, it just points out that initially our question was, so what's Rava doing? And we end up explaining why Rava makes the diak, but the second piece isn't explaining why Rava makes the diak, it's explaining what the Mishnah is adding. This is a strange kind of tricha. So we started off with the question, why does Rava have to repeat himself? So we explain why Rava has to repeat himself. Then we go back and we say, so, but what's indeed the point of the Mishnah? The first Mishnah is, what would it be adding? Because, I mean, Rava's not adding, I mean, that the Mishnah said. You see? So there we're explaining what is added in that Mishnah. Over there we don't need Rava's Diyak. The Mishnah is saying that, Beferish. Here, you need Rava's Diyak. The Mishnah doesn't say openly. Hohi Pila. Itzma. So getting now into this relationship of intent to the meaning of action, and a question in general, to what extent do we view intention as being necessary for action in halacha? Itma. So we have an interesting similarity in a case where a woman who was a nida was ne'ensa v'tavla. So we'll see what ne'ensa means. Ne'ensa could mean somebody else was matbil her baal korcha. Ne'ensa could mean that she slipped off of a bridge and went screaming into the river. But the bottom line is that she was tovelet. Omrev yudamarav tehora leveita. So she is tehora in terms of her husband, but she's asura lechol b'truma. She's not tehora when it comes to eating truma. Rabbi Yochanan Omer. Rabbi Yochanan says, av leveita lo tehora. She did not become tehora for her husband either. Omer le'rav l'Rav Nachman. Rav asked Rav Nachman, I don't understand how Rav could have come out saying what he said. Tehora leveita, he's saying, but asura lechol b'truma. Now, sleeping with a nida is an iser karet. Eating truma, betuma, is an iser mita bidei shamayim. Karet is much more chamur. So if he's ready to go ahead and say that when it comes to an iser karet of sleeping with her husband as a nida, she's considered to be a non-nida and she's tahara, why in the world is he being machmer on a lower level of iser and saying that when it comes to truma, that you can't eat truma? If avon karet hutra, isur mitami boy. I mean, I don't understand. The kosher king, you have to be matir. And isur mita? Omar lei. So he explained to him, it has nothing to do with the chumrah. It has to do with the definition of the act of tefillah in the various cases. Ba'ala chulinhu. Sleeping with her husband is an act that does not involve truma or kodesh. It's chulin. And for chulin, you do not need kavana in your tefillah. Mashen ken, when it comes to kodesh, you do need kavana. How do I know that you don't need kavana for chulin? Uminat temra. It's none, because we have a mishnah that says gal shenitlash. A person is minding his own business. He's having a picnic on the seashore. And it's not one of these English picnics where you're fully dressed. He's actually not quite dressed. It's a California picnic. And a wave comes out of the sea and suddenly engulfs him and his entire picnic. Now, he was tamei before. His kalim were tamei. And after he recovers, he says, wow, that's nice. Now we don't have to go to the mikveh. I don't have to be tevel these kalim and everything is great. So as long as it has our ba'im sa'a, which I'll discuss in a moment, v'nafal ala adam v'ala kelim, they're all tahorim. So my love, adam dumya de kelim. Now look, the guy is sitting there, and he's enjoying his picnic, right? Yeah, it's a beautiful. It is a beautiful. What?
But the waves took the kelim off.
That's right. We had such a mess. We never saw them again.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a problem. He's right, Barnea. We had such a mess. So lechora, I mean, the kelim certainly are not going to be machaving for themselves, right? That they're supposed to be tar. So lechora, I mean, the adam nami lo boy kavanas. The same way those kelim become tar by themselves. So too, the adam is there. Apparently, doesn't need to have any kind of kavanah. And the whole thing is a discussion of no kavanah. So you see, I said it was not an English or South of African picnic. They're famous for that, the English. They come out and they're all dressed up with their fancy buttons going all the way to the top. And then, you know, I mean, you have to take off their corset before they can get into the water. We're not talking about that. We're talking about California.
I just want to tell the other mic that.
Okay.
It's there, Rosh Hashanah. And we're heading for a little inlet, our private cove in Santa Cruz, to be told for ourselves and to be told with dishes. And there's some people sitting there. They say hello. And they see a line of people carrying dishes. All of a sudden, they say, Shana Tova, and they get up. They were Israeli. They were away from the world. They had no connection.
They're thinking in Santa Claus. Thank God, we got away.
They got dressed and getting into the water. They were being terrible. They caught the situation. They picked up and they went out. But they realized it was Rosh Hashanah. That was the message.
Okay. Says the Gemara, how can you prove from there? Maybe the pshat over there is miman. Maybe the guy is sitting, waiting for a nice kishmaka wave to take care of his problems of tefillah and so on. And in which case, the kalim are dumya the adam. Just the opposite. Just like the man was sitting and waiting for the wave, the kalim over here, the person had kavana that the kalim should be torim. So afkelim nami dekomes havin luhu adam. Now, there's some question as to why in the world you need for there to be 40 saw in the gal. In other words, b'monishav, if we're talking about a mikveh that's in midair traveling is not a kosher mikveh. I mean, if it were, we'd have a lot of easier time of building mikvahs. All of the tircha building a mikveh that the water doesn't seep out and then it shouldn't be considered to be zoklet. You have a great idea. Mikvah's falling from the sky. And all you do is you wait until it falls over you. So if we're looking at this as a tefillah in the yam, what do you need our bayim saw for? And if we're looking at it as a tefillah in a mikveh, then it isn't a kosher mikveh because it's not at rest. So the whole thing is very strange. There's two major approaches to this among the Mefarshim. One is that indeed it has a halach of the yam, because of the fact that it was nitlash min hayam and it's flowing back into the yam, and therefore it doesn't have to be at rest. However, it's nitlash. However, the idea is that since, in order to give it a shame of a mokum of Tyra that should be mechubra layam, even when it's not mechubra, it needs to have a shear of arba yimsah. It's a very strange svara. Others say that, of course, you don't need arba yimsah in terms of the din of the mikveh. You need arba yimsah because even if a person is tovel b'mayan, it has to be large enough for tfilas ko gufo and so on, and that's where we get the shear of arba yimsah from in the first place. In which case, the arba yimsah would only be because of the adam, not because of the kelim. That would make tremendous nafkaminas. Oh, you don't need. We don't need the size of arba yimsah in order to fit a kli in.
Okay.
You don't even need that, yeah, kiddushin. Yeah. But indeed, yes. I was wondering if somebody would put that. Fine. So you can't bring a raya from here. V'chitem, and now maybe you'll say, now, well, of course you can bring a raya from here, because if the guy was waiting for the wave to come, then what's the chiddush in the Mishnah? Mishlei Mitzvah told me that indeed is the chiddush in the Mishnah, that if a gal just comes and falls on you, your Torah, without even expecting it. Okay. But if you tell him, no, it's talking about the man who's sitting there waiting for the gal to come. So you'll tell me, Bioshev and Mitzapeh, Maila Meimra, so then what would, why did the mission need to even mention this? Because Mao, the Damon League Zahar, Mishu Mechar Dalit Shel Gishamim. Because I would have said, perhaps, this is what you're trying to tell me, the Chiddush in the Mishnah, is that you might think that if a person would find that he's Tahar after being attacked by a raw wave, that he might think on another occasion that he could be Tahar by dipping into Niagara Falls. Much in Niagara Falls this would be okay. But a fall that would be made out of rainwater, which Niagara Falls is not, it's the Niagara River. But there are places, many places there. So we have a knockout and you have a waterfall, and the water is essentially rainwater. Rainwater is not kosher while it is in a fall, as opposed to the yam, or mayan, which would be. Now, why that's true, Rashi learns it's true because of hanitzik v'kataperes eino chibur, meaning that when something is in movement, each molecule of a liquid is viewed as a separate entity. In other words, liquidity means that you cannot measure volume unless it's contained within something. And since you need, in megishomim, arbaim sah by definition, its status of movement means you don't have arba yimsah. Tosfos says that doesn't have anything to do with it. The problem is that movement is a pagam minei uve. A mikveh is not matayr bezochalim, not because of the fact that you don't have arba yimsah, but rather because mayan, we learn out from a pasuk, ach mayan ubor mayim, that there's two different halachas. There's ach mayan, which is matayr, even though it's moving, but it only the mayan, to be mamaya things that are not water that come out of the ground, but are simply rainwater, that they are not Matayr Bezochalim. This is a machlokes that occurs often between Rashi and Tosfos and the issue of Bechlal, what exactly is the problem of Chadalei Chag Shamim. But in any event, you might think that that would be the Gezerah. And therefore, the Chiddush would be Tomash Malon Delo Gazrinon. So then the whole Chiddush would be that we're not Gozer. I mean, if that's true, so then you don't have a Raya anymore that you don't need for Chul and Yoni Shabbat. Right? Was maybe the point of the Mishnah is simply to tell me that we don't need to worry about that conduct, Gezera. That a person may make the mistake of going into a Chadalei Chag Shamim. So maybe that's what it's for. Inami, or you know what? Maybe something else. Maybe the Kiddush is that if a person is attacked by a wave and he finds that he's kosher, that he's Torah, and that it's a Tefillah Kshera, he may get the idea, especially if this takes place in California, as we say. So he's very focused on surfing. Right? He's focused on surfing, means he's always looking at the crest of the wave. If he's looking at the crest of the wave, he's got a brilliant California-ish idea. What he does is, he's going to throw the kli that he's got. This is a new sport. You throw it through the crest of the wave, missing the water, but it's completely surrounded by water.
That's how you surf.
That's how you surf, exactly. So a guy like that, how's he going to be table? Why does he want to get his electric coffee pot wet? He's got a perfect solution. Throw the coffee pot through the airspace, which is surrounded by water, under the crest of the wave. It's completely brilliant. It's completely surrounded by water. And now he says, look at that. We got a kosher tefillah. We don't have to worry about shorting out my electric coffee pot. And that's the real solution to the whole issue. So you might think Ligzor, Roshin, Otukipi. You might think that the Rosh of the wave, we have to worry because of under the crest of the wave. Therefore, it comes to tell us California is not part of normal human experience. And Mamela, there's no such gezeira. By the way, we not tamer the lomat belina b'kiva. How do you know that you can't actually do that? Maybe actually a surfer would be able to get under the crest, and as the wave is about to crash over him, he figures he's tar. He's tar because he's surrounded by water. I mean, it's not in the water. But he's surrounded by water. That's what you might think.
I think there's a guy who calls himself the surfing rabbi.
He's probably the expert on that. That's his name. How do we know, indeed, that you cannot do a tefillah like that in a kippah? You can be tovel in a wave's crest, but not under the crest. That's called a tefillah ba'avir. The fact that you're surrounded by water is not the definition of tefillah. Okay. But in any event, I've now explained the Mishnah in Mikvahs to you without recourse to assuming that the man did not have kavana for the wave that was going to hit him. Actually, he did have kavana. So you said, what's the finish? The finish is to exclude surfers. I might have thought to exclude surfers. Kamash Ram, we don't. Or I might have thought that the problem was waterfalls. No, Kamash Ram, I'm not concerned for waterfalls. Fine, so now I understand the Mishnah. But the Mishnah has nothing to do with your issue about Chulin de Loboy Kavon. Ella says the Gemara. Chulin de Loboy Kavon, Miyamino. And how do we know, therefore, that Chulin doesn't require Kavon? It's none. Hey, Rochi, the Flute Toch Amatamai. Here we had a fruit. They fall off the tree into an irrigation ditch. Is that mayim, makshir, the peris mimakabal tuma? No. Because as we know, the only time that mayim is makshir is if there was the das kiyutan mayim alzera, and it's spelled kiyitain. And therefore we say it's similar. In other words, whatever happens, it has to involve a person's desire for that water to be there, at least. So over here, there was nobody that was involved in the fall of the tree. Okay. Comes along somebody to take out the pears. Upashat mishi adapt meot minatlan. So somebody whose hands were tomatoes He puts his hands into the irrigation ditch and he removes the peros. His hands become tahorot, even though he had no intent to be matpil his yadayim. And the peirot, however, are not mukhsharot l'kabel tuma. The peirot enan b'chiyutan, because he had no intention of the peirot being wet. But v'im bishvil sheyutchu, if, however, he had in kavana to be mediach his yadayim, so he sticks in his hands in order, in fact, to wash them off in the amat hamayim, and then now he's going to take out the peirot. At that point, yadav torot upe, for sure, obviously, in this case, he even wanted his yadayim to be nitchot out of water. But in this case, the peirot are b'chiyutan, because in this case, he wanted the water, not for the peirot, but he wanted the water for his hand. And therefore, in this case, also, even the peirot are considered to be b'chiyutan, because this is a case of mashke shesofo l'ratzon. We had this before in the case of the... we were talking about kavona for a katan, if he's mala things up to the roof in order to get wet. So here too, the end result is, even though at the time of the nefila, it was ein tefila toleratzon, he wasn't interested, no one was interested in the perot getting wet, but so toleratzon is mash. Okay, so I've proven to you, chulin does not require kavona. Over here, his hands are tahoros without any kavona. They say, Rav Elurim Nachman, Tovah lechulin. Someone who goes to the mikveh in order to be tor for achilas chulin. Muchzak lechulin. And he was muchzak, meaning he had in kavona that that's what he wanted to do. Asur lemaaser. He cannot go now and eat maaser sheni. Now, why does it say muchzak lechulin? Richie? Why does it say huchzak l'chulin? Apparently, because only huchzak in, lo huchzak lo. It's only because he had that intent that he was going to eat chulin, that then he can eat chulin. But if he didn't have any intent, even for achilas chulin, the tefillah would have done him no good whatsoever. So huchzak in, lo huchzak lo. And you see from here that chulin does require kavana. And you're saying chulin does not require kavan. So how do you explain that? So he answers him, "Lo, that's not what it means. Halachi karma. What it means is this: huchzak meaning afal pi shuchzak lechulin. Even though the meisah guy did have in kavana that he wanted to be tahor, but his intent was only to eat chulin. And now if somebody offers him meisah, he's asur lemaaser because he had no kavana to be tahor for maaser." Okay, how about this? Esve. Taval v'lo huchzak yilu lo taval. Here it says beferish. If there was no intent at the time of the tefillah, then it says if he wasn't tovel at all. Now, doesn't that mean yilu lo taval ma'ilav yilu lo taval klal? Doesn't that mean it's as if he was not tovel at all, right? No. It means yilu lo taval l'maser. But he certainly was tovel l'chulin. Now, that sounds like an awfully dochuk d'gepshat. And Husabar dechuya kamatchilei. He thought that he was just getting pushed off, but that this wasn't really a question. Now the truth is, as Tosis points out, why would he have thought that he was just being pushed off if he knew, as we just said, the whole brisa about taval, where the hands were inserted in order to take out the peres? And that clearly proves it. I mean, he couldn't have thought that that was a joke. Tosafos suggests that there might indeed be an afkamina between the din of the tefillat yadayim, in which eino finami for tefillat yadayim you don't require kavana, but maybe we're more machmer for tefillat kogufa. So therefore, he felt that this was a dichui bialma, that really he's got a good point over here. That you have to have in kavana for tefillat haguf, you have to have in kavana for chulin as well. But then, nafak, he went out to research it, dak veshkak, and he found that indeed it says exactly that, the Tanya, taval v'lo huchzak mutar l'chulin v'asur l'maaser. And then he saw, it's indeed true. You don't need tefillah, you don't need kavana for tefillah saguf when it comes to chulin, only for maaser. Amar le'Abaye l'Rav Yosef, Lema Tahavi to Yuftu Rabbi Yochanan Miya. So if that's the case, then Lechora we have just proven that indeed there's no din of Kavana whatsoever. So we've gone back now. We started off with the Machlokis over here. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Afla Beita Lo Tahara. A woman who apparently has fallen in off of a bridge and was Tovelet. Rabbi Yochanan says, even for her husband is Chulin. Lo Tahara. So Lechora, we have a riot that he's wrong. Because it says over here for Chulin, you need no Kavana whatsoever. So how is Rabbi Yochanan going to explain? So what's wrong with falling off a bridge? Lechora, it's okay. Omale Rabbi Yochanan, Udomak Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef. He said, you're right. If we didn't have any further shitas, it would have been a tiyuf to Rabbi Yochanan. However, we know that there's a shita.
So it happens to be Chulin, so what?
I think where would we create a din of Kavana? Who would have created that halacha?
But if there's no problem to Chulin, if your tummy still cares, then that's why they don't really care.
It's not a question of caring. It's a question, was there a Maisa Tefillah? Was there not a Maisa Tefillah? If you're telling me you don't need Kavana for Tefillah, then the issue was Tovelet. So who cares?
Maybe we're just very Mako, because it's cool and it doesn't matter.
We're not going to change the definition of what a Tefillah is, Lothar.
But we are, because it isn't a Tefillah.
Mamana Shachar, if you hold it that Kavana is necessary, then it should be. We're not going to say, well, you could pretend to do tefillah. I mean, if you weren't matami, the mice, if you're going to be matami things, then it's going to be a terrific yoko. You'll be matami this, or it'll touch truma. Somebody's going to eat truma to mayhem because of it. I mean, it's a real tefillah. It's not just a question of whether you're allowed to eat food. It's a question of whether you're going to be matami with your touch. So what we're going to say, well, we'll pretend you're matami. In other words, it's not an issue of kula v'chulma that's going to change the dinam of tefillah here. As a matter of fact, the mocker for what you're asking was the Gemara before, who said we should certainly be matur nisukaras. Tosis points out that is very misleading. I think that's probably what's misleading you. And that, in fact, the language should have been the opposite. If it's not a tefillah, then how is it a tefillah for this? Not it should be even a tefillah for that. The only reason we put it that way was because of Rav. Okay? Now take a look at this. I'm an olive, if you would have a Gemara, on the bottom. Anyway, Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef's approach is that indeed you need to have Kavana. Because Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef says, look, it says v'chubas. Now why does it have to say sheinit? V'chubas sheinit. The situation over here is a reference to a case where you have saras and abedet. So the din is, it says v'tziva kohen, kohen comes along and he tells you, okay, let's be mechabes the stain of the nega, and then we'll check it, and you'll come back in a week and we'll see if the nega returned. If there was no problem with the nega after a week, then it says v'chubas, this time to put into a mikveh, but it says sheinit. What do you mean, sheinit? Obviously, sheinit. I mean, we just discussed the first time, and I know how to count. One, two. So what's the point of sheinit? So matam alom is sheinit. Makish tichboset shniyah l'tichboset rishona. The Torah is coming to say that there is, in fact, some relationship between the tefillah, which is the second tichboset, to the tfisa that was done originally, which the Kohen was in charge of. Just like the tichboset rishona ladat, you can't just have water fall over it. It says v'tziva kohen v'chipso. So too af tichboset shniya ladat, which means that Rabbi Yochanan has a raya from the pasuk that there's an inyan of daat, and therefore he has a right to say that when it comes to the tefillah of the nida, it's necessary to have daat because the Torah was megala that there's an inyan of daat, dafka for tefillah. You'll say if that's the case, then you should say mala alan bina dat kohen. Just like the first tichboset requires a kohen to be in charge of, afkan bina dat kohen, tamud lamar v'taha. Therefore, comes along the posik to add that under any and all circumstances, you would become tahor mikol makom. Maskif lo Reb Shimon bar Asher miyomer Reb Yochanan hoche? Did indeed Reb Yochanan then say such a thing that chulin requires kavana? I thought Reb Yochanan says halacha istam mishnah. And here, of course, is where why we got into this sugya in the first place. Our mishnah says sakin shenafla v'shachta apapi shachta kedarka psula. Why? Because of v'zavachta. V'havinam b'taima denafla ipila hukshera. We were medayek. But suppose he had stubbed his toe on the knife and had made it go without any kind of kavana, the din would have been that it would have been kosher. Afal gavda lo mechabe. And we explained that. Who is the Tana that says lo binan kavana l'shchita? And Rabbi says it's Rabbi Nassim. No. So I don't understand. You're telling me, well, Rabbi Yochanan's got himself somebody to hold like. He can hold like Rabbi Yonasan and Ben Yosef. But I thought the klal is Rabbi Yochanan holds like a star mishnah. Our star mishnah obviously doesn't hold with Rabbi Yonasan and Ben Yosef. So why did he pass him like Rabbi Yonasan and Ben Yosef? On my rov, no, it says the Gemara, Bishchita, rather, Afilo Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef is mode. For Shchita, for sure, you do not need Kavana, even according to Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef. Maybe for Tvila you do, but not for Shchita. How do I know? Miragoli Rachmona mitasek bekodashim pasu, mechla dechudu no doi Kavana. If the Torah says that a misaset is possible by kodashim, so apparently, chulin, there's no inyan of kavana whatsoever, and even a misasik would be kosher. Rabbanan saying, well, all that proves is nihid lobin and kavana lizvicha. Those who argue on Rabbi Nassim, they say, well, maybe you're right. You do not need kavana for shchita at all, but you still need kavana for the act of chaticha. You're cutting the simani. So just to have a knife that would fall, even if it would fall by your stubbing the toe on it, it's only Reb Nassim who would be masking to that. But the Rabbanan would still argue, and they would say, that's not even included in the Misasek Bechulin. Misasek would mean Misasek Bechaticha, but not Misasek to be Holech Kedarko. So that's yet a lower Darga. As we pointed out when we were talking about it, the end of Menachas, you have a Misasek in which there's no... We have basically starting from the beginning. You have Nefila, which is not even Misasek, because nobody was involved. No human was involved. That is possible even by Shchitas Chulin. You have Hipila, who, in which a Misasek completely. You have a human act, but no human intelligence. You have Zorak Sak in the Noat Tabakota, where there is a Kavana for Chaticha, but there is no Kavana for Zvicha. And then you have a kavana for davka shvita. And then you have, when it comes to kachim, the additional problem, a kavana for shvita of chulin or a kavana for shvita of kachim. If you were misasek in kachim thinking they were chulin, even if you had a kavana for shvita, it would not be enough. You need to have a kavana for shvita of kachim. So we have five different dargas in the relationship of the action to the kavana, to the human. Omar Rava says, Rava, I can tell you that if it's a matter over here of winning the argument, Ba'azachnur Rabbi Natan Rabbanan, I think Rabbi Natan wins this debate. Because I don't understand why you would get the idea. The Torah says Vizavakta. Now, either you learn that Vizavakta means with a Kavana, and that's the definition of an act, or you learn that Vizavakta is purely a definition of a physical reality. Where did the energy come for the act? Because it doesn't say in the Torah, v'chatakta. It says v'zavakta. So make up your mind. Zavaktakti, mikti v'chatakta. Ibeinet kavana l'chaticha. So if you're going to tell me, well, you need some level of kavana, at least the kavana for cutting. And you should need the kavana for what it says in the pasuk. What it says in the pasuk is v'zavakta. And therefore that had to be your kavana. What do you get off saying? Well, it's sort of a relationship to the Zvicha because I had a kavana for the Chaticha. You might as well go all the way. You're telling me, well, but when it says Zavakta, it doesn't mean you have to have kavana to be Zavakta. All it means is that there should be a Maaseh of Zvicha. So fine, then you shouldn't eat kavanah at all. Then the chatichanami, loli boy. Now, in this old case, we talked about the nida that fell off the bridge, but we weren't really sure what ne'ensam means. You say, nida she'ne'ensam the tabla. What is the case? Does it mean that her friend grabbed her and said, this business of not being makban on the mikveh is intolerable. I'll teach you a lesson. And throws her into the mikveh. So then, why is that called without kavanah? Kavanah de chaverta, kavanah mal yatai. Her friend's kavanah is a perfectly kosher kavanah. Not only that, she should even be able to eat truma. Both the truma and nami akla. This halacha lamaisa, we have such problems. Suppose you have a woman who's a shota. She's incapable of taking care of herself in terms of nidas. So how in the world can we allow her to be married if she's a shota? So what we do is, yavacharesheta shota, nesumami, she can't even see whether she's bleeding or not, vishinitrafadata, she's insane. So what do? Im yeshlam pikot mitaknotu tanoklot betruma. If she has a friend who can keep track of her, check her, put her into a mikveh, make sure that she's torah, she can even eat truma. Or she doesn't have the das to be tovelet, and so on and so forth. So you see that someone else's das is perfectly acceptable when it comes to the dinim of tefillah. Therefore, it cannot be referring to nensa through someone else who did something. I'll tell you what the case would be. Nensa would mean, according to Rabbi Natan, that you don't need any kavana whatsoever. The case would be shenatlam and hagesha. She falls off the bridge. And she ends up being tovelet. Because what's the difference? That's no different than the case of Nofla Sakin, where he was Mapila. And the Rabbanan, she yardala haker. According to Rabbanan, they say you need at least kavanah l'chaticha. So over here, you would need at least kavanah to go to the water. Okay, so she wanted to take a nice cooling dip. So she dived. Now, in diving, she ended up l'maisa being tovelet. But she doesn't need, even according to Rabbanan, kavanah l'tvila. The most she needed was kavanah l'knisa l'mayim, which is what she did. She wanted to take a dive, and she took a dive. Now, l'maisa, you have over here a basis for a psak of Rav Meisha, which is very interesting, because l'maisa, we are machmir about kavana in falling off of a bridge and so on, or in yadala hakir. But Rav Meisha says like this. There's many people have this hakpada, you know, the Hungarians particularly, not to marry someone who was born of a nida. That's a ben nida, they call it, right? So they will not marry to a family in which the people were not makbid on Taharat HaMishpacha. So Rav Meisha, of course, I mean, the old shiva was basically the midiach that time on such mishpacha. So he said, since this is not halacha, minute. Okay. So if that's the case, you find a wonderful chassan is the best guy for your daughter. Now you're going to say, vice versa, now you're going to say, wow, we are against the shidduch. Because after all, the mother was not shemeret. She's a ben nida, bas nida. Says Rav Meisha, what do you mean? She didn't go to a swimming pool ever. She never, I mean, Miss Thomas, she also went out at the local gym or she went to a spa. And since l'maisa, she ended up, therefore, b'diraisa, being tovelet. So, what's the problem? You shouldn't be machmer on you. We can certainly rely that you don't need kavana when it comes to this. So, even though we're machmer, legabe, halacha l'maisa, l'chat fila, to be yotze, even the chumra, that you should have kavana, both for fulin. But l'maisa, you could be same as on this in terms of marrying into such a family. Of course, some wanted to immediately be medayik in Rav Meisha that, okay, but if it's during the winter and you don't have an indoor pool, then you wouldn't be able to marry her. So you'd have to figure out what month she was born in to figure out what month she was conceived in. There's always ways to figure out how to be my friend. Yeah, that's Mikra Din, and Midi Raisa. If you have my children, it's possible only with Rabbanans. That would be a kosher tefillah, too.
In the Yom,
anytime. What's that? In the Yom, it's your kosher thing, it would be good. Yeah. But a lot of people, actually, he was maniac the bath of a lot of people in that. By the way, it's now, yeah, a little bit also, what comes up again is by Geirus. In which the Shaila is by conservative reform Geirus, but you could be saying that it's completely not a Geirus, and we say, well, vice, but what if the guy went swimming and there were other people that saw him going swimming when they would kosher aid him, and then the swimming itself, and then the Shaila, whether he needs Kavana Lagabi Kilo of Geirus also. What is that considered to be?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's all kinds of beautiful
figures.
Yeah. All right, I'll let you go, even though...